I seem to be losing my voice. I don't know what's wrong. Makes for a short sermon. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What if Jesus were to come among us and to address us with, let's say, these words? If any of you come to me and do not hate your own father and mother, your wife, your husband and children, your brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't bear your own cross and come after me, you cannot be my disciple. Well, the truth is, Jesus has come among us today, as he comes among us every Sunday. You heard the words when we processed out for the gospel reading. There in the middle of the congregation, the cross lifted high above the gospel book, your head turned, you stand up to listen to the words of Jesus. Those words are taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the good news according to St. Luke. You have them in your Bibles at home. You have them printed on your bulletin inserts. They are the words of Jesus, not just to the 12 disciples, but to the crowd, it said at the beginning of today's gospel, to the great crowds that accompanied Jesus. And not just the crowds of that day, but the crowds of this day also. All who are gathered in the church to hear the life-giving words of Jesus. Now, these words of Jesus strike us as strange, as peculiar. Was Jesus having a bad day when he said, if you want to come after me, you've got to hate your own father and mother. You've got to hate your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters. You've got to hate your own life. Yeah, he must have been having a bad day. That's the only possible explanation that I can come up with. So we can tear that page from our Bibles. Or we can seek to understand what Jesus was saying. Have you heard of hyperbole or exaggeration? Exaggeration to make a point. Now, Jesus, as the second person of the Godhead, is responsible for that fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. The fourth commandment doesn't say, hate your father and your mother. Jesus tells us to love and to pray for our enemies, not to hate them. So what's going on here? Well, it's a comparison of the greater to the lesser. When the first commandment tells us to have no other gods, it means we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, above everything else there is in our life. Our loyalty to God, our love to God, God Himself comes first. And relative to that, all these other things take a secondary place. Our love for God is to be so great that by comparison, we hate our own father and mother. Now again, you have to understand that Jesus is making a comparison. He could put it this way. If anyone comes to me and loves his own father and mother, loves his wife and children and brothers and sisters, loves even his own life more than he loves me, he cannot be my disciple. Again, Jesus is speaking to the 12. Now, that word disciple is often applied in the gospel, in the Gospels, to the 12 disciples. But it also has a broader use, a broader definition, to apply to all believers in Christ. Remember what Jesus says to the disciples in the last chapter of Matthew's gospel. All power, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. In the Roman Catholic Church, the religious life, the full-time religious life, was at one time viewed as superior to the lives of ordinary lay men and lay women. The religious, that is, those who had taken a vow of poverty, of celibacy, monks and nuns, priests, etc., their calling was viewed as higher than the calling from God upon ordinary men and women, ordinary believers in Christ. Martin Luther overturned that thinking. Martin Luther said, every calling from God is a sacred calling. And in God's eyes, when we fulfill our God-given callings, it's more wonderful than if we gave a gazillion dollars to fund, say, a children's hospital. The Christian mother who changes her child's diaper is just as holy as a pastor consecrating the bread and wine through the words of our Lord. Each of you has various callings from God, and each of you is a disciple. There are no second-class Christians in the kingdom of God. We don't rank people according to this scale. Well, you've got the unbelievers, the atheists, you know, the wicked, and then you've got Christians, and then you've got disciples. It's not that way at all. You have either Christians or non-Christians, disciples or non-believers. So Jesus' words are addressed to you and me. They're Jesus' way of saying that he demands our first loyalty, that he comes first, that he who suffered and died for our salvation is to take priority in our lives. How do we take up our cross and come after Jesus as his disciples? Well, that varies sometimes according to the God-given vocations which we occupy. As a Christian father, you sacrifice yourself for the well-being of your wife and of your children, and you do so as a believer in Christ. As a Christian mother, you sacrifice yourself as well for the good of your children. But even your children, even your spouse, even your wife or husband, do not take priority over Jesus. So there may be times where it comes down to a choice in your life. Do I do this which I've really wanted to do for so long? Or do I come to church to hear the words of Jesus, to hear the gospel words, the words of forgiveness, the words of life and salvation, and to receive his body and his blood? Well, put it plainly, that is the priority. Do I show love to this person I really don't like? This person who has treated me so badly? This person who mocks me because I believe in Jesus? I don't want to love him. I want to get back at him. I want to make him feel as low down and rotten as he has made me feel. Well, take up your cross and follow Jesus. The Jesus who prayed for his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Jesus who tells us to love and pray for our enemies. "For if we love only those who love us, even the Gentiles do the same." And how about this? Hating your own life. The life that is not lived in Christ will perish forever. The life that is not lived in Christ is a life of futility. The life that is not lived in Christ is a life that has been thrown away. The very fact that you got up this morning to come to church is a way of showing that you believe Jesus takes first priority. When you pray to God for those who have despitefully used you, you are showing and demonstrating that Jesus takes first priority, that your life as a disciple of Jesus takes precedence over everything else. The cross is never pleasant. The cross is never fun. You were crucified with Christ in holy baptism, and every day, because you are baptized, you are to lead a life of contrition and repentance, nailing that old Adam to the cross each and every day Or as Luther puts it, drowning the old Adam daily with all of his sins and evil desires. Jesus had to die before he could be raised again and be our Savior. We are called to die daily to our sinful nature and all of its evil desires, and rise anew daily by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and to live as His redeemed people. In this world, the cross of Jesus, the cross of suffering, the cross of tribulation, the cross of being despised and hated by men, that is the only way to life. And Jesus promises us, if they hate me, they will hate you also. But we don't seek to get back at them. No, Jesus didn't do that. Again, as I said earlier, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Stick close to Jesus. Stick close to the cross from which the life-giving gifts of forgiveness and eternal life and salvation and hope flow. Only if a person dies to this world can a person truly live in Jesus, who is, after all, as he says, not merely the way, not merely the truth, but the life that he has given you and me, eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.